This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar. If you walk through Madison Square Park or Inwood Hill Park today, you'll notice something a bit different. New sculptures of abstract figures made from weathered steel and bronze. The artist behind these sculptures is Rose B. Simpson from Santa Clara Pueblo, an indigenous community located in what we know as New Mexico. The installment is called Seed. It comes on the 20th anniversary of the art program from Madison Square Park Conservancy. And if you've been to the Whitney recently, you may recognize Rose's name because her work was also included in this year's biennial. And with me now to discuss this new public art installation is artist Rose B. Simpson and Brooke Kamen Rappaport, artistic director and chief curator of Madison Square Park Conservancy. Welcome both to WNYC.
Thanks, hey, Kusha. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for being here. So let's get right into the installation. The title of this piece is called Seed. Rose, tell us a little bit about the title. What does it mean to you and how does it connect to the sculptures?
I love that question because it really is about like our holistic relationship to each other, to place, to our understanding of identity, community, history, and future, right? Mm-hmm. So seed is hope. Seed is rooting. Seed is how we go deep into something in order to grow above and understand and become, mm-hmm. right? And so the piece is a seed. It is planted there at Madison Square Park, but it's also planting concept, feeling, consciousness, and presence.
I love that idea of going deep to go high, right. I guess is what I heard you say as well. Brooke, anything to add to that?
I think that, you know, Rose's practice has been seeded and nurtured through Indigenous tradition from a multi-generational and a matrilineal lineage of artists who have worked in clay as makers. Rose is a mother, a daughter, a granddaughter, a great-granddaughter, and she's described to us all along the way around this project about that connectivity going back 70 generations. Mm. That's incredibly powerful when you think about what this project is in the two public parks in New York City.
Yeah, and this installation celebrates 20 years of the Madison Square Parks Conservancy program. Why is art an important part of the mission for the Conservancy?
You know, public art has complete access to all people. Works of art on view in Madison Square Park and now Inwood Hill Park. It's a great collective democratic experience for people viewing works by exceptional contemporary artists like Rose B. Simpson. Sometimes people don't go into a museum or have comfort or access to a Chelsea gallery. So this is a way to bring outstanding works to many different communities.
Mm. Rose, for this installation, you used some really cool materials, weathered steel, bronze. Where do you source all that?
When I'm working in my creative practice, which is mainly ceramics. So most of my work is in clay, but I've used steel for a long time, mostly working on cars. So it started with working on cars and welding. But I often think about how we can honor the resources that are gifted to us for our creative process and for our creative voice and see how far those resources can take that voice, mm-hmm. right? And with, you know, ceramic, there's so much fragility in it. So there's a lot of engineering to figure out how this fragile material can communicate, can do its job for as long as possible, right? And because this work had to be outside, it had to be durable, it also had to hold space, right? It had to be strong enough to withstand the elements and also be in a community of lots of people, right? And I consider those things when I created this work, when we considered the scale. And, you know, when you use and you utilize the gifts of natural resources to make art, I often think about, you know, the environmental impact of art making. And so part of the conceptual development of this work itself was how to make this work monumental and still use the least amount of material. And so the pieces are actually like jigsaw puzzle pieces from sheets of steel. And they all sort of were put back together to engineer them to stand tall and strong.
I want to get into the installation. I got to pick up on something I heard you say, though. Oh. You got your start working on cars. I'm a big fan of cars. I think that's so cool. What did you learn about working with steel on cars that you apply now to your work today?
Don't get me started on cars. We could talk about it.
Unfortunately, I have, so go for it.
I have a deep love. I come from Española, New Mexico, which is the lowrider capital of the world. So where I come from, cars are art, right? And cars are, you know, I went to graduate school at the Rhode Island School of Design. When I was there, I studied relational aesthetics, aesthetics of the everyday. And I was trying to understand how to explain indigenous aesthetics in a community that didn't fully understand what I saw as deeply applied and spiritual aesthetic. And so I really saw the link between cars, like lowrider custom cars, and applied aesthetics or relational aesthetics. And so when I finished at Rhode Island School of Design, I went to school for automotive science and auto body. But I think, to come back to steel, is that working on cars and, you know, having a car breakdown, understanding how it works and being able to fix it is a very empowering thing, right? And especially in a world where, you know, females and women haven't been necessarily a part of that world, and certain materials like massive pieces of steel, et cetera, have been out of reach for a lot of women, right? Culturally, we've kind of built that, you know, and I don't think it's healthy, but I feel like working on cars and working with large-scale steel things is empowering. And it's also, you know, because of working on cars and fixing cars and they break down and feeling capable and able to do that, I think that's what allows me to envision and understand that the engineering for something of this scale. It's a familiar thing, and it's possible, it's doable. Like, I understand how it can be done, and so that allows me to dream those things into reality.
Kind of like the jigsaw pieces that you were talking about before, to make efficient use of materials
right.
a little bit. Yeah. Well, we've gotten into what the materials were. And if you're just joining us, this is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar. We're talking with Rose B. Simpson, the artist, and Brooke Kamen-Rapoport, who's the artistic director and chief curator of Madison Square Park Conservancy. We're speaking about a new public exhibition of Rose B. Simpson's sculptures opening today at Madison Square Park and in Woodhill Park. It's called Seed, and it's on view through September 22nd. So these sculptures on view and the piece at the Whitney, they all feature faces in some way. Rose, what kind of emotion or meaning specifically are you trying to capture with face?
It's about relationship. As an indigenous person who grew up in northern New Mexico and my ancestral homelands, I was, since very young age, I was aware of colonization and the impacts, right? So living in post-colonial stress disorder environment, I wanted to find out what makes people hurt each other. And what I found out was that when we objectify, when we stereotype, when we other something, that's when we're able to hurt it. When we have an empathic relationship with something or someone, all of a sudden it's no longer something, it's someone, then we have less of a desire to injure and hurt and inflict pain. And so with my artwork, I am trying to elicit an empathic response from people so that my work, when you give it eyes and it's watching, all of a sudden something that is an object is de-objectified, and we give animation to the inanimate. And I believe it's a step towards understanding that we're in a deep, holistic relationship with the world around us. And if the art can start watching us, what else is watching us? And how do we act when we're being watched. Mm-hmm. There's reverence, accountability, responsibility.
Making animate what is inanimate.
Or what we think, deemed is.
I love that. Thank you for that. Brooke, is that part of what drew you to Rose's work? How did you first engage with it? What do you appreciate about it yourself?
I first saw Rose's exhibition, and we reached out to her first in 2021 to start the conversation. And Rose immediately, when we began talking about bringing Rose B. Simpson's sculpture to public parkland in New York City, she was very drawn to a certain space on the lawn in Madison Square Park. So in that space, there are 7-18 feet each high sentinels, and they circle a female form in bronze who emerges from the ground. So that relationship of encircling that central figure is a relationship of nurturing and great strength from the female figure. When you go to Inwood Hill Park in Upper Manhattan, there are two sculptures. They're side by side, as Rose says, they're shoulder to shoulder. One of those work faces the ancient wood in Inwood Hill Park in acknowledgement of Native histories deeply associated with the land. And the other work looks out into the Hudson River, the part of the trade route that brought settlers to that area, who really worked to obliterate Native people beginning in the 1600s. And this project is acknowledging all of those complicated, contested, genocidal histories.
Inwood Hill Park is thought to be the site where the Dutch colonial governor, and I'm using air quotes here, purchased the island of Manhattan from the Lenape people. Brooke, can you go into a little bit more about why Inwood Hill Park, where that idea came from?
When we first started conversation with Rose and we thought about this important milestone of the 20th anniversary of our public art program, we had been working for several years before with the Lenape Center here in New York City and collaborating and writing and researching and drafting a land acknowledgement. So when speaking with the Lenape Center, they guided us to work with Inwood Hill Park because of the contested history of that site, just what you mentioned before about the Dutch colonial governor taking that land from the Native people.
And Rose, how did you respond to that history? How did you try to bring it into your work that we can see at Inwood Hill Park right now?
One of the things that I, I'm considering. I am not from here. I am not indigenous to this place. I'm a visitor, like so many other people here. But because I come from a place that has been colonized, I know what it's like to have people come into your living room and act like they own the place. And so I'm hoping that because I know the feeling that I can offer a new way of approaching space and approaching relationship and approaching histories and the consciousness or the understanding of who we are in relationship to place and stories. I'm not here to tell the Native story as a pan-Indian thing. I'm very much bothers me, right? Like, that isn't the way we do this. But what I can offer is a way back to our own humanity, so that the more self-aware we can be, the better decisions we can make in relationship to other people, to the story of place, but also, energies and what might be supernatural, right? So, like, that being that I can, as I learn how to be a good person in the world, and as I work with my art and I allow my art to teach me about myself, that in that process, maybe, just maybe, I can show other people that it's possible to, you know, go to those places that are difficult, to pick up the tool, be it, you know, spiritual, psychological, emotional, that allows us to evolve and transform the way that we be in the world. We need to change this. This is not going to work.
When you say that your art teaches you something about yourself, are you thinking of something specifically?
I think that, you know, I think the biggest tool in my art making process is witnessing and listening. The first time I walked into Madison Square Park, I asked the park what needed to be said there. I didn't say, I think I know what this place needs. I had to stop and quiet myself down really deeply and ask and then wait for an answer and listen for it. And so because I don't feel like I am making this work, I am only a tool for this work to be made, that when the work comes to manifestation, to fruition, and I stand and witness it as it witnesses me back, I am sent into my feelings, right? I am sent into a humble places. I am sent into, you know, some uncomfortable feelings, and I have to be with that, right? So I feel like I put the work in the world and it turns around and shows me something that I've been looking for, right? And I think that's what, you know, that's why I keep returning to these processes. And sometimes I laugh, like, maybe I haven't got it yet. And that's why it just keeps getting bigger.
Well, you know, Brooke, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, it's also significant to think of Rose's work in the context of the contemporary art world and how Rose and other artists of her generation are really resetting the conversation about these long entrenched interpretations of what is the figure in sculpture, what can the figure be in sculpture. So she has, by making these towering objects, they are formidable, and that lets us reassess ideas around the human form in sculptural language.
And to put a point on it, why do you think it's so important to make an effort to display art in public spaces in our city within spaces like Madison Square Park, Brooke?
People come to Madison Square Park and to other public settings, and when they see a project like this, they can be inspired, challenged, or provoked. And these are where very significant conversations about contemporary culture and life and politics and society, they grow from seeing works of art. And that's what the best artists can do for us.
And, you know, Rose, some folks may already be familiar with your work in the city. People may have already seen your work in this year's Whitney Biennial. For it, you made a piece called Daughter's Reverence, which includes four sculptures of figures with materials like clay and steel all facing inwards towards each other. As an artist, what does it mean to you to have your work shown in a Whitney Biennial? And what was your reaction when they first reached out to you?
It really is. It's, you know, the honor we all search for, in a sense, right? If we're on this journey. So, you know, it's an incredible honor to be there. And, you know, the anxiety is often, will I do it justice? And will I meet that challenge, you know? And there's so many. I mean, for Brooke to come to me and ask if I am ready, you know, to take on this challenge, like this work here at Madison Square Park, or to, you know, make work for the Whitney Biennial. I feel like what has kept me grounded in some of these really, like, it's a lot of pressure, you know, it's a lot of pressure, and that pressure can really crumble and cripple you, you know, or me, I will speak for myself, if I let it. And so I feel like I search more for those moments of listening again, back to witnessing what is trying to be told in those spaces. And I feel like, you know, you want to see something intimidating, you know, listen for for something bigger than what is human, what is bigger than our ideas and stories we tell ourselves of the life that we live.
I've heard you say the first step is listening multiple times in this interview, which I think is lovely. How do you listen effectively?
I'm a kind of a loud person in lots of ways, and I'm bubbly and I can get goofy and crazy. And so I think listening has been, you know, my life goal and the challenge in my life. And so listening to me is so much about turning on and then off our different senses until you listen with something bigger and stronger than what we're used to. And I think often there's intuition, there's trust, and there might even be faith that has to be opened up to allow a trust for something that isn't as like concrete as we're so used to in this three-dimensional existence.
Well said. We've been talking to Rose B. Simpson, the artist, and Brooke Kamen-Rapoport, artistic director and chief curator of Madison Square Park Conservancy. If you would like to go to Madison Square Park and Inwood Hill Park, you will see Seed on view now through September 22nd. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. We have more tomorrow. The HBO docuseries Telemarketers follows a New Jersey-based call center raising money for nonprofits. But then things go haywire when we realize what's actually behind those calls. That's coming up tomorrow on All of It. We'll speak with the co-directors. We'll see you then.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.